From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of November 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, we'll be joined by the folks at the Andersons to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets, which you'll check into with the guys up at Risk Pulse in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast across the Midwest and, of course, the growing regions of South America. And along the way, I'll bring you a portion of a press conference that was held at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention last week in Kansas City, Missouri, with the chief agricultural negotiator for the United States Trade Representative's Office. His name is Greg Dowd, and we'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hey, just a quick reminder that I'm traveling today, so no updates of the markets as they came in from Chicago this afternoon. However, I would like you to pick up a phone and dial this number, 800-898-1065. Pick up your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up next Tuesday, not tomorrow, but the following Tuesday in Normal, Illinois, or online at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. Right now's the great time to pick those tickets up. We're in our last week. We've got quite a few folks, actually. We're getting really close to our target number and sure could help out our bottom line if you picked up those tickets today, right now, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. And boy, do we have a great lineup for you. I'm more convinced now than ever we were on the right track when we decided to invite McDonald's and Anheuser-Busch to come in and talk about the kinds of things they expect to happen in the marketplace as it relates to directly reaching out to producers for characteristics, some sustainable, some of them not in that realm, but other places, and just exactly how you will be contracting with end users in the future. That's not in the distant future, but probably really, really in the near future. So pick up those tickets today, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, 800-898-1065. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Do pick up those tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's a week and a day away in Normal, Illinois. The cost is just $40. Kurt Kimmel is now on the phone line. He is in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for joining me as we're talking just a little bit early again. I'm traveling today. That seems to be normal for me and may very well be the case all the way through the winter meeting season. As we're talking around quarter after 12 today, where are the markets trading?
We have a mixed trade. We have spread activity being the dominant feature, buying wheat, selling beans, buying corn, selling beans. The December corn's up 1 1/4 at 371 even. March corn's up 1 cent, 382 1/4. November beans down 3 1/4, 872. January's down 3 1/4, 883 1/2. December wheat's on fire. It's up 17 3/4, 519 3/4. Products firm. Meal's up 40 cents a ton at 306 even in the Dease. Dease bean oil's up 10 at 27.72. Livestock markets have kind of been a mixed trade. We've got the December cattle up 12 at 114.70. January feeders down 10, 143.70. And the December hogs up 37 at 56.17. Outside market activity's been kind of volatile. The crude oil's up about 7 cents a barrel. Gold's down $5 an ounce. Silver's down 14 cents an ounce. The dollar index is up 63. The Dow's down 500, and bonds up 19. Todd.
Okay, so I've got a couple of questions out of this. First, why is it that the wheat is moving so quickly to the upside?
Just spotty world weather events. Australian agencies have continued to downgrade the size of the Australian wheat crop. due to their extreme drought conditions. Then also, too, Argentina continued to receive fairly heavy rains over the weekend as their wheat crops entering that stage. It does not want to see some moisture materialize. So problems in the southern hemisphere has generated some buying interest. Then, of course, we continue to see droughty conditions throughout Europe as that wheat has trouble germinating before winter here.
And then the Dow off around 500 points, the S&P 500 down around 40 or 45 or something along those lines, I suppose. Again, these numbers coming from the noon hour. Is there any indication as to why the drop there? And it's been volatile now for a while.
Well, Trump's blaming it on the Democrats, so I guess we go with that reason here short term. But I've not bonds are up about 18. You'd think the flight to quality would be a little bit better than that. I think it's just the function of some liquidation uncertainty of trade and so forth. I've not seen anything real solid to suggest that, you know, we could hopefully not stay at these lower levels here. As we do, we'll lose some investor confidence, and we don't want to do that, Todd.
Yeah, let's come back to the grains and the oil seeds. Last week, of course, USDA releasing its crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. The Chinese government updating some of its numbers on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, USDA updating the corn numbers in carryout for the world. Doubled them, in fact, based on what China says it now has in stocks, and those changed going back almost a decade. It looks like the grains floor took that pretty much in step. I suppose the market knows what it knows, even if it doesn't, and that's kind of what we're thinking along those lines. Do you see anything coming down the pike related to those numbers that, might be good or bad in the future?
Well, it's a long-term story, the corn. It continues to unfold here as we move forward. I'm not quite for sure if the Chinese did not use this as a little bit of a political weapon, per se, because they virtually shut off purchasing U.S. beans to keep the lid on the bean market, but yet they don't buy corn. And one way to maybe keep a lid on corn is to come up with these extra stocks that the trade's been talking about for some time. I view this as a powder keg in the corn market longer term, from the standpoint you don't have to go back very far. And some of these analysts were looking at ending stocks in feed grains anywhere from 750 to 800 million metric tons, and now we're probably just under 300 million metric tons if these are numbers are, you know, a little bit more accurate. So it suggests that China's gone through a stage in here of some fairly good drawdown, liquidating some major reserves. So therefore, they're sort of getting in a position in here that they really have to have the production numbers they're stating to satisfy their demand, because their demand just continues to grow year after year after year, particularly in corn. And, you know, and their shift is to beans this coming crop year. Then their commitment to this 10% blend is going to continue to add to the situation. They're going to need more corn for ethanol. So that corn number, I think, longer term continues to be a supportive feature in the trade. And I think traders are looking at our own numbers with a smaller crop, at a little smaller production number, as constructive, not extremely bullish. And I'm not endorsing storing corn or not selling corn. I think it just provides a good undertone feature as we move forward here, Todd.
Speaking of undertone, we have the weekly crop progress reports due out this afternoon, but the weather has not been particularly good to finish the harvest up, or at the very tail end of it. I suppose it's always the last bushel that makes the difference. Is there a story yet to be told in the weather here in the United States?
Yeah, actually, those reports will be Tuesday due to the Veterans Day holiday, and we really give a big thank you to all those who served. Many, many, many thanks. The corn harvest progress is expected to be anywhere from 86 to 88% complete as a nation. Soybeans, 92 to 94% complete as a nation. The main focus continues to be northern Illinois into Iowa into Minnesota. And then even the Dakotas there, you know, they've really struggled in through here. I don't know if we can take much more yield off. starting to become a quality issue. But yeah, that last 10% is going to be a long, hard struggle to get out. The conditions reports, you know, we don't have any updates on that. What they'll probably do is try to factor some type of yield, you know, if this harvest continues to be drug out over some time.
And before I let you go, anything in the cattle market that we need to discuss, or the hogs?
Well, we're seeing a recovery from last week's sell-off in through here. We continue to hear more and more concern out of China on this African swine fever, more cases. We continue to believe it's a much larger concern than what China's letting on. So that's going to be supportive to the back end as we move on the hogs, as you get in those June-July contracts. Look for those contracts to stay firm as the trade kind of bear spreads the hog complex, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. And as Kurt mentioned, it is Veterans Day. Thank you to all the veterans. And I kind of forgot that as I was traveling, that we will not have the USDA reports this afternoon, but they'll come out on Tuesday afternoon. So we'll look forward to those weekly crop progress reports. A week from tomorrow, I look forward to seeing you, by the way, in Normal, Illinois. If you have not picked up your tickets yet for the Farm Assets Conference, do that right now at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or 1-800-898-1065. That's 1-800-898-1065. The tickets are just $45. Should be a great conference. We'll be in Normal, Illinois. And just before that is the annual Illinois Corn Growers Conference. It starts at 8 a.m. You can find the details there online at willag.org. You get breakfast from Illinois Corn Growers. You'll get a lunch from us. The parking is paid for, and we have a great day set up for you. So come see us at the Farm Assets Conference next Tuesday. That's not tomorrow, but the following Tuesday in Normal, Illinois. Again, tickets are $40 online. willag.org, farmassetsconference.com. Last week at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, the chief agricultural negotiator for the United States Trade Representative's Office, Greg Dowd, joined us for a press conference. We'll hear a portion of that conference right now. It picks up with a question that I asked Mr. Dowd.
Todd Gleason, University of Illinois, WILL Radio in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, we heard Bill Turney from Ag Resources tell us about the trade negotiations with China, that one of the problems you end up with, in particular in agricultural commodities, is if you were seen as unreliable, trying to rebuild a export system to China, for instance, is very difficult. Will there be a ask for a commitment to U.S. agricultural imports into China during the trade negotiations? So would the Trump administration look to make sure that the Chinese are going to import U.S. soybeans at certain levels, for instance?
Well, first of all, I would say, in full disclosure, you know, Dr. Tierney is a mentor of mine. he is a dear, dear friend, and was a professor at Kansas State when I was in graduate school there. What I would say with regard to China and agriculture, again, is that the end of May, the 1st of June, Undersecretary McKinney and I went to China, and we sat down for 3 days and had conversations about the to-do list of things that we need to work together on to address, to expand the ability for U.S. exports into China. Let me give you a quick illustration of what I'm talking about. Yes, we do export, or did export, $12.7 billion worth of soybeans to China last year. But it's also important for everybody to understand that we don't sell China any rice. We don't sell anywhere near what we should be selling to China, in my opinion, in terms of wheat and corn, because they don't administer their tariff rate quotas like what they agreed to do when they became a member of the WTO. It's taken us 15 years to get that beef market open. We still just sell a thimbleful of beef into China. They don't buy our poultry. They give us fits on things like ractopamine and pork. And what their tariff on distillers' grains is 70%. The tariff on ethanol is 80%. And we think that that would be almost a $1 billion market in terms of things like pet food that they won't even buy. So the point being is that, yeah, we do sell China, you know, or did sell China some $20 billion worth of agricultural products. But we have got a lot of work in that relationship to get it where it needs to be.
My follow-up question was off mic, but essentially I asked him if Secretary Perdue's conversations over the last 3 weeks with the American farmers as he's been out and about suggesting that they needed to diversify their crops and that the United States needed to diversify its exports to China was a message that producers needed to hear as they looked forward into what kinds of potential they might have with China in the future, and whether that might mean a different mix of crops and agricultural goods.
Well, I think the message that I would give is the fact that the way I look at it right now from the position I am in at USTR is that we're not leaving any stone unturned right now. We are having all kinds of bilateral conversations, the likes of which are pretty extraordinary, with, you know, countries from Indonesia to, you know, everywhere in Southeast Asia, African countries. I'm actually headed to Morocco on Sunday to have a conversation. This is an extraordinary time. You know, I cannot impress upon you enough, from my perspective, the sense of urgency that I have, that we've got to work on as many of these issues as hard and as fast as we can. What I really appreciate from the President, President Trump, Ambassador Lighthizer, is the fact that everything's on the table in terms of leverage and pushing these countries to get them where they need to be.
Scott Colomb with KLGR Radio in Redwood Falls. One issue that I haven't heard much of that is brought up before with the Europeans when it came to regional usage of names, whether it be like mozzarella or...
Yes.
Is that going to be addressed with the Europeans when it comes to a new free trade agreement? And also, is that going to be addressed with other free trade agreements since the European Union is trying to, such as Japan, require that they recognize those regional names?
That's a really good question and an important conversation. You know, that was a pretty hot topic of conversation with Mexico because of Mexico's recent deal they did with the EU. I don't have enough information with regard to what the relationship is there between Japan and the European Union on that topic. But the answer is yes, this is an important topic. Again, this isn't, you know, Europe's use of a non-tariff trade barrier. And the way we look at this, we're going to work hard to prevent that from them using those kinds of things as a barrier to access.
Dwayne Taves, KFRM, out of Salina, Kansas. Greg, obviously it's easy to throw rocks at China. They are the big ugly in this situation. But how delicate and important is it they come out on the other side still in a position to be able to buy products from us?
Obviously, Dwayne, it's important that we have a relationship with China going forward. And I will tell you, when we were there at the end of May, 1st of June, it was a good conversation. It was a productive conversation. But the other side of that conversation is, you know, there are bigger issues at play here. And we are serious as the United States of America in terms of intellectual property, in terms of forced technology transfer. These are major issues that have to be addressed if we're going to move this relationship forward.
Michelle Rook, WNAX Radio. The president says short-term pain, long-term gain. But is it really long-term? Because the soybean producer spent 35 years opening that China market. And just because you get a deal, does that mean that you're going to be able to rebuild that relationship?
We're going to do the best we can, Michelle. But I think you understand a theme that we have here is the fact that we've got problems in our trading relationship with China that have to be addressed. You know, I spent some time out in California here recently, and, you know, the trade in fruits and vegetables with regard to China has just really gone gangbusters here in just the last few years. But China has been really difficult to deal with. Well, we've got to inspect this, and we let things set at the port and rot. Just, you know, we can't let this relationship fester like this. And we have these conversations. I said, look, do you honestly think it's going to get any better unless we sit down and try to have a conversation with China to move this forward? And they understand that. We've got to help get this relationship where it needs to be to move it forward in the future. So that, you know, the long, short-term, long-term is an easy soundbite. It's really hard, but we've got to do it. It gives me no pleasure to say that. I understand. You know me. You understand. I understand. My dad grows soybeans. We've grown soybeans a long time. This is difficult, but it's important.
One more question.
Let's go Greg Akagi back here, sir.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for being here as well. I asked you this last Wednesday when I had you on air, but I'll ask again. From the practical standpoint on this, say if we invite you back to this convention 1 year from now, are we still going to be talking about the United States and China and trade relations?
I don't know. I hope we're talking about the fact that we've moved the ball forward. We've made progress. I sincerely hope that we've talked about an accomplishment with regard to Japan. I think that's really important. I will tell you that I think a year from now we'll have other countries that we're going to be talking about as well. And I think we'll still be grousing about how difficult Europe is. Thank you all very much.
That was a conversation that members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention had with Ambassador Greg Dowd, the Chief Agricultural Negotiator for the United States Trade Representative's Office. It happened last week in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us. I came out of Missouri today, and I was in that Branson area. Kind of rainy, a little cold, some snow. Looks like this is maybe wider spread than that. Can you tell me about what we're seeing and what's going to happen across the Corn Belt?
Yeah, well, certainly more wintry-like weather across the Corn Belt. That's been the case here in recent days and really looks to continue as we go through this week and into the start of the week. The system that we're seeing right now, yeah, will produce a mix of rain and snow in the Missouri River Valley, southern Midwest here as we go through later on today into tomorrow. After that, it does look a little bit drier but cold for much of the Corn Belt as another Arctic air mass moves down into the middle portion of the country. At this time, the next chance for beginning to warm up or getting out of this unseasonably cold pattern, that will be starting around the middle part of next week. That's when that Arctic flow looks to, we think, briefly cut off, but that will allow for temperatures to kind of climb back to more seasonal levels, starting right around Thanksgiving.
So when you say Arctic blast, last week I think we had some teens in at least parts of the upper Midwest. Certainly it got quite cold in a large part of the Corn Belt. What does it look like this time around?
Yeah, another similar type of air mass coming in, over the next couple of days, and then another one followed then over the upcoming weekend. So with that, you know, minimum temperatures dropping below freezing here as far south as into the Delta region, and even some, you know, single digits, which we did see actually in portions of like Iowa and Minnesota here on Saturday morning, likely another round of that over snow-covered areas coming up with these next shots.
And then finally, turn your attention to South America. How's the Brazilian and the Argentine crop coming along?
They're coming along really well. There have not been any wide-scale dryness issues across the region. Argentina had been on the dry side until this past weekend, where they did see major rain activity. And in fact, some of the thunderstorms that did develop across Argentina over the weekend produced, in some areas, localized totals above 8 or even 9 inches. So in some isolated areas of Entre Rios and Santa Fe in Argentina, there may have been some flooding issues. There will be some additional rains here today, but next week does look like drier weather will move into Argentina. So again, if there are any localized wetness issues here after this weekend's rains, that drier weather next week will help.
And then if you look a little further out, because they'll start to get closer to the middle of their growing season, maybe a month away, but you got any idea what the end of this year looks like and maybe what an El Nino impact might be?
Yeah, as we look out further, overall, we're not seeing any kind of major risks to South America at the present time. And typically when you're in type of El Nino event, some of your most significant dryness risks, they are in the northeastern part of Brazil, the northeastern portion of the soybean belt, kind of centered in the Bahia area. Even there, up to this point in the growing season, they've gotten good rain, so there's no immediate concern, but that is an area to continue watching as we go through this entire growing season.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse. I'm Todd Gleason.